Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I want to talk about baptism. I recognize that baptism is a subject that most of us have a good, clear understanding of Bible truths, and we simply need to occasionally be reminded about those things. But then there are the new people, and particularly the young people that are growing up, and we must never just assume that they have a good understanding of some of the subjects which are very familiar to us. And so occasionally we need to speak on something that we recognize that nearly everybody in the audience will understand already everything that I'm going to say this morning. But there are some that maybe need to hear it. And so this morning we're going to be talking about the Bible topic of baptism, particularly the purpose of baptism. The three basic questions that we would raise about baptism: who, what, and why. And it is the why, or the purpose of baptism, that I'm going to be talking about for just a few minutes this morning. First thing I want to notice as we look at this subject is I'd like for us to talk a few minutes about the negative side, what baptism does not do. And the first thing that I would suggest this morning that baptism does not do is this. Baptism does not change the heart and the life of a person. That really is the work of faith and repentance. And let me read a passage about each of faith and repentance. First, from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I notice with regard to faith or belief and its connection with the heart, he says that thou shalt believe in thine heart in verse 9, and then in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When we talk about what works on the heart of man, we speak in terms of faith. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist calls on the people of his day to whom he was preaching that they bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, indicating there that it is the repentance in the heart of man that brings about the change in one's life. So faith and repentance have to do with the heart of man, the change in that heart, and result in the change of life. Baptism does not change the heart or the life of a man. If it did, then it would be worthwhile for us to gang up on some people that we thought needed to be baptized and just grab them and physically baptize them. And when they would come up out of the water, their heart and their life would be changed. But it just doesn't work that way. A man must have faith, and a man must repent of his sins. And that's what changes his heart and his life. And that must occur before a person can be baptized properly and receive the benefits of baptism. The second thing that baptism does not do is this. Baptism does not eliminate temptation from a person's life. Sometimes I think that people who decide to become Christians believe that once they're baptized, that then the devil will kind of let up, and that he will be free from some of the temptations that he had faced before he was baptized. But that's just not true. The fact of the matter is, sometimes when a person has, through faith and repentance, been baptized into Christ and begins to live the Christian life, they will find that Satan comes against them even harder, and the temptations may be even stronger and more difficult to overcome than before they became Christian. But now, having said that, there is an important promise in the Bible to those who are Christians who have been baptized with regard to temptation. And I want to read what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He first gives them this assurance: there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That is, you're not enduring any kind of trial or temptation that is unusual and peculiar to you, but it's the common lot of all men. And then he adds this important promise: but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Paul writes that God is very faithful as he watches over us as Christians. And he will make sure that there is never a temptation brought to a Christian that is bigger than the Christian can handle. And not only that, God will see to it that there is always a way for us to overcome or to escape that temptation. Being baptized does not mean that we'll no longer be tempted. But it does give us the promise that God will always see to it that there is a way for us to escape out of that temptation. And so that's just a great promise. But then God goes one better than that. And that is, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Actually, that's verse 9. Verse 7 is, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Those two verses in the first chapter of the Epistle of John lets us know very clearly that as Christians, after we've been baptized into Christ, even though God does not allow a temptation to come against us bigger than we can handle, and even though God very faithfully always provides a way out of that temptation, that when we, through our human weaknesses, yield to temptation, as we all sometimes do, that all hope is not gone. But God has promised that even then we can come to Him. And if we will confess our sins and turn back to Him, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise in the Bible to those who have been baptized. Doesn't mean we'll not be tempted. But God has made all the provisions that we need, that temptation does not have to destroy us and cause us to lose our soul. But one final thing about what baptism does not do. Being baptized does not give us a 100% guarantee that without fail we'll go to heaven. I want to read what the Apostle Paul had to say about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul had been baptized, and he was an apostle, and had been living the Christian life for many years. But he recognized that there was no guarantee that he would not fall. Baptism does not 100% guarantee that we'll go to heaven when we die. It is necessary, after we're baptized, that we keep to the commitment that we made in our baptism. Not that we'll be perfect, we'll make many mistakes, but that we faithfully serve God and keep turning to Him when we are weak and when we have fallen into sin. If we'll do that, of course, then there is a guarantee that we'll be going to heaven when we die. So I wanted to mention just at the outset to some of the things that baptism does not do. But now I want to look at a thing or two that the Bible says baptism does for us. The first one is baptism saves. And let me read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking, and He said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then one other passage that teaches the same thing is the Epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto, even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We make very simple, plain statement that baptism saves us. And any time, or most any time in the religious world that you would make such a statement as that, immediately someone would object. And so I wanted to read those two passages, one from Jesus and one from the inspired Apostle Peter, both in which says essentially that baptism saves us. Jesus saying, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the Apostle Peter writing that baptism doth also now save us. It's a very fundamental Bible truth that baptism saves. Now, I mentioned earlier that baptism does not change the heart and the life. But I would not want to leave the impression that baptism is nothing more than an outward form. And the Apostle Peter tells us very clearly here that it is more than that. He says it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. There is an inside and an outside to baptism. The outside of baptism is what you can see when a person is dipped in the water and brought up out of the water. You can see that with the eye. But in genuine baptism, there's more than that. There's something that you cannot see with the eye. It goes on inside the person. And every person who has been baptized knows what that is because they experienced it. And the Apostle Peter expresses it here as it being the answer of a good conscience toward God. It is a person willingly submitting his heart to God, and he does so by the act of baptism. So first, what does baptism do? Well, it saves. Second thing that I want to notice that baptism does, and really this is just another way of saying the same thing, baptism brings the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then in Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul of Tarsus was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Those two passages very clearly teach that when a person is baptized, their sins are forgiven or washed away. Now, when we say that, we certainly would want to add that we understand very clearly that the Bible teaches that the procuring cause for the remission of sins is the blood of Christ. If Jesus had not come to this earth and had not died on the cross and shed his blood, then a person could have been baptized in water 100 times over and his sins would not have been remitted. The real price that was paid for the sins of man was the blood of Christ on the cross. And it's because of that shed blood that we have the remission of sins. But these two passages that I quoted earlier are telling us that the means by which we receive that commission, that remission of sins, is baptism. We repent and we're baptized for the remission of our sins, or we arise and are baptized and wash away our sins. Baptism in the Bible is connected with the remission of sin. But then again, another thing which baptism does for us, baptism is that which puts us into Christ. I want to read from the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, these two verses are especially important because they give us a proper connection between faith and baptism. Verse 26 says that we become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Of course, if that was the only thing in the Bible, then all you would have to do would be believe and you would be in Christ. You'd be a child of God. But the next verse further explains how that's done, starting out with the word "for." "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ." It is in being baptized that we come into Christ. And as the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." Then there's one last thing that I want to notice that is accomplished in baptism, and that is that baptism pictures the gospel story. And I'll read from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The basic gospel facts, of course, are the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And this passage is saying that in baptism we die to sin, we're buried, and then we arise to newness of life, a new life in Christ Jesus. Baptism is a very important part of Christianity. We need to understand exactly where it fits in. The pioneer preachers in America used to put it this way with regard to faith and repentance and baptism. They used to say, and rightly so, that faith changes the heart, repentance changes the life, and baptism changes the state or the relationship with God. And that's a pretty good summary of how they all fit together. Our heart is changed when we come to believe. Our life is changed when we genuinely repent. And our state or our relationship with God is changed when we're baptized into Christ. There might be someone here this morning who has not yet been baptized for the remission of sins. If you'd like to do that today, we invite you to come forward as